Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We have Dave Leventhal of the Center for Public Integrity joining us live on the line. Dave, thanks for joining us again. And, you know, over the weekend, it's been a few days now, but we haven't talked with you since Joe Biden making his public appearance. And, you know, I never in my life thought that the headline, if you're running for president just a few months before the election, that appears in public for the first time in months would, you know, be a headline for one of the major candidates. But here we are.
Put aside for the moment that this is one of the most bizarre years and tragic years, certainly of any of our lives. It certainly, and I think what you just described underscores it perfectly, is one of the most bizarre presidential election years of our lives. Yes, the notion that a candidate, the presumptive nominee for a major party in the United States, would effectively be off the campaign trail for not weeks but months at a time is nonsensical. But that's exactly where we are right now. Obviously, Donald Trump had the platform of the White House. He hasn't been going much of anywhere up until very recently either, but he had daily press conferences. He had media appearances. Joe Biden, too, was doing some stuff, but it was mostly from his basement in the state of Delaware. So everything that we know about the way that presidential campaigns work is out the window. And that's likely to be the case in other ways going forward up until November, Brian.
And with Biden's appearance, we've seen, this really kick into high gears. We've talked about it before, but the mask has now just become another political symbol.
Yeah, you know, I mean, this one seems pretty straightforward. If you can help people out, you know, do it. So I wear my mask. I know lots of conservatives, lots of liberals who wear masks. I mean, some people don't want to. They're a small vocal minority. But the fact of the matter is that medically speaking, it can help stop the spread of the coronavirus. So kind of seems like a small thing that any of us can do, whether you're a presidential candidate or just hanging out, trying to do the right thing. I don't see that as a political issue, although many people do.
Are we nearing a territory where there might be some pushback on this within that task force, that coronavirus task force in the White House, that this could be dangerous turning the mask into a political issue? I mean, there's many things that have been political about this, the response to the virus and everything, but this one, it seems unnecessary.
There are a number of things that during the past several months that have become politicized that I think under different circumstances would have seemed completely bizarre that we would even be having a conversation that they would be politicized. Certain drugs, the mask, you could go on. A lot of people are going to, regardless of your party, are going to look to the president and take cues from the White House, from the leadership more broadly. And President Trump sometimes has been in conflict for one reason or another, even with the people who are serving on his task force, medical personnel, top medical leaders. So there's been a tension there. There's been some degree of dissonance. And the fact that the president doesn't wear a mask and doesn't want to wear a mask and doesn't want to appear in public with a mask has been a signal to the United States, to the body politic, that he has a certain way of doing things, and that may be a good thing to do. While we have other people standing right next to him who are wearing masks and saying, no, you should wear your mask. So it's not surprising, Brian, that there would be a political issue made out of this, because you have the people who are sitting at the top of the political chart, so to speak, basically making a political issue out of this.
Hey, Dave, something else that has just kind of happened. Twitter is now fact-checking the president for the first time. What does that mean?
Yeah, a huge step. Now, Twitter has been incredibly laissez-faire when it comes to dealing with prominent politicians' tweets, Donald Trump or anyone else. But Donald Trump Twitter has long been his platform of choice. He has said for years that he loves Twitter because effectively it gives him an opportunity to speak directly or tweet, as it were, directly to all Americans and all people around the world. He has tens of millions of Twitter followers. But in particular, in the tweet that you're citing, is one that deals with mail-in ballots. And Twitter basically appended a note to one of his tweets. It didn't delete his tweet, didn't change his tweet, but took a very dramatic action by Twitter standards to append this little note saying that there may be some other information available that you should read that may contradict what the president is tweeting. So symbolically, this is big, but also practically, it's pretty huge, too, in the sense that Twitter may now, going forward, be playing some sort of role as fact checker on the president's tweets.
You know, on that mail-in ballots, that's another one of these things that have become such a hot political issue. But, you know, the two sides kind of underscoring the actual issues that are at hand, because there are clearly, you know, instances of people being sent ballots when they don't live in a particular place anymore, or somebody who's deceased having a ballot for that. But, you know, all of those issues kind of get, you know, totally brushed aside into this grander, declaration by the president that the entire election is, completely can't be trusted because of these mail-in ballots. I mean, the over-politicization of things like this really does a disservice.
Well, it's a little bit of, you know, broad brushing, too. I don't want to get too technical here early in the morning, but state by state, every state has a different voting system. You have U.S. states that have been using mail-in ballot systems for election after election, a state like Oregon, for example, which does basically its entire election using mail-in ballots. So there are examples out there that one can point to in the United States of America that have been going on for years, this is no secret, that have worked pretty well. And there has been no, you know, real accusations of mass fraud or ballots that are being stolen. Any election system will have its imperfections, whether it's mail-in ballots or whatever. The big question, I think, going on here is, state by state, are the states going to be up to the task of creating a voting system for the general election on their own terms? And it's going to be different in New York than it is in Florida and it is in California, because this is a state-based type of a system. And the question is, are it's going to be able to do it really well. I think there are some serious questions as to whether they will in the context of a pandemic and in the context of a lot of people perhaps not being able to go in person to vote, or, you know, the issue of poll workers, many of whom are elderly, not being able to basically man the polls. So we have several thorny issues here, but we're not working on a national election system, and what is the case in one part of the country may very well not be the case in another part of the country.
Hey, we're speaking with Dave Leventhal from the Center for Public Integrity. President Trump has said he wants the GOP nominating convention to take place inside a packed arena this summer, despite the governor of host state North Carolina saying that he's concerned about safety amid the pandemic. How do you see this playing out? Is this convention going to go to another state?
Well, Susan, I mean, Donald Trump also said that he wanted packed churches on Easter, and Easter came and it went without packed churches, of course. So what the president wants aspirationally may not necessarily be what the president gets, even though he has much more control over the trajectory of the Republican National Convention, basically because it's his coronation. He is the nominee of the Republican Party for a second term. But this is going to be something that is not going to necessarily be up to him. Yeah, because you've got a convention committee that has contracts with the city and the county in North Carolina where this is going to be conducted. So you have contractual agreements. You also have just public health. So if a mass convention of that sort, whether it's a political convention, a sporting event, a music concert, or be it what it is, if that's just not in the cards at that point, then the Republican National Convention, and for that matter, any political convention, is going to have to adjust and it's going to have to adapt. Now, the big question on that end is, could they move? And could it go to Texas? Could it go to some other state? There is that possibility. But we're about 90 days away here, and the clock is ticking. I mean, these are massive, massive events that have that are logistical nightmares. So the notion of being able to just uproot and, you know, like the circus, get on the train and go to the next town, that's a little bit easier said than done.
Dave, as always, appreciate the time. That's Dave Leventhal with the Center for Public Integrity joining us live.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.